Hi, this is Pastor Paul Chappell here on the campus of Lancaster Baptist Church and West Coast Baptist College. I'm excited about the podcast ministry and the thousands of viewers and listeners who are hearing the Word of God through the ministry of Lancaster Baptist Church. Today we'll hear a special guest speaker whose message will be an inspiration to your Christian life. Thank you for being a growing Christian, and may God richly bless you today.
I think our Bibles turn to Exodus 16, and then Numbers chapter 11 is where we're going to end up spending most of our time. And then when you find that, let's stand to our feet for the reading of God's Word. I stepped foot on Lancaster Baptist Church property 17 years ago and was overwhelmed by the size of the North Auditorium. And just to see all that God's done in these 17 years that I've tracked and followed and visited. Last time was the college. The college just basically was the front several sections, just, you know, the center sections, and to just see how God's blessed there, and God's blessed the different Sunday school classes, and God's blessed the ministry and the choir. Well, I don't know if it can get any bigger, and just doing a great job. And the place is, and sometimes when you're at a place and you see it on a weekly basis, you don't realize. I hope you realize all that God's doing here. It's booming numerically, and it's blessed spiritually. And I just stand back and awe and praise God for this is the Lord's doing. It's marvelous in our eyes. And so I want to be careful to give God the praise and just the example that you've set and the challenge that you are. Tonight I want to read one verse out of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 6, and then we'll move over to Exodus 16 and then over to Numbers chapter 11. If you'll listen, 1 Corinthians 10, 6 says, "Now these things were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted." Now these were our examples. It's talking about the gift given in Exodus 16 and their ingratitude shown in Numbers chapter 11. These things were our examples to the intent. It's written in there. The Bible contains it for the purpose that we should not lust after evil things as some of them also lusted. Now, today we've narrowed the definition of lust to just mean sensual pleasure or physical immorality, but biblically it's always wanting something else, or always wanting someone else, or always wanting somewhere else. That's lusting. It's not just the physical, not just the sensual. It's always wanting something else or someone else or somewhere else. And in our text, it's talking about the manna that God gave them. Boy, they wanted anything other than that. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer and then jump into Exodus chapter 16. Lord, I do pray that you'll teach us your word. You'll help us to have clarity of thought. I pray that you'll open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Lord, it's the word of your grace that's able to build us up. And Lord, I know that. I know it's not my word. I pray that you will bless these people, these Christians, your children, because of the time they set aside to hear your word. We'll give you the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. These were examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as some of them lusted. Now, Exodus chapter 16 basically gives us the definition of the gift. The definition of the gift, the manna that God gave, the definition of the gift. If you look at verse number 15, "And when the children of Israel saw it," it's talking about the manna that God gave to them. "When the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, 'It is manna,' for they wist not what it was." And I love the fact that literally manna means, what is it? When they saw it for the first time, they said, "It is, what is it?" They couldn't figure it out. What is it? What is it? Well, number one, the definition of the gift, what is it? It's the provision of God. The provision of God. Look at 15 again. Goes on to say that they said one to another, "It is, what is it? It is manna, for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, 'This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat.'" It's the provision of God. Boy, God chose it. God gave it. God provided it. Verse number 4 of Exodus chapter 16, God said, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you." God hand-selected it. God invented it. God gave it. It was the provision of God. "But my God shall supply, provide all your need according to his riches and glory." Boy, number one, it's the provision of God. No wonder in Numbers chapter 11, when they complained it displeased the Lord, boy, it's the gift of God. God hand-selected it. God chose it. God gave it to them. They complained. It displeased the Lord. What is it? What is it? Well, number one, it's the provision of God. Number two, write it down, it's the perfection of God. The perfection of God. Not only That manna, the provision of God, it's also the perfection of God. It's perfect in its nutrients. It seems as if that's all they had to eat for those 40 years, that's all they needed to eat for those 40 years. In fact, Exodus 16, verse number 35, the Bible says the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years until they came to the land inhabited. They did eat manna until they came unto the borders of the land of Canaan. Boy, perfect in its nutrients. It's all they needed. It's everything they needed. The provision of God, perfection of God, perfect in its nutrients. Understand also, it's perfect in its taste. Look at the last phrase of verse number 31. We're in Exodus 16. Last phrase of verse 31, after it says it's like coriander seed, the last phrase says, the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. Wow. I mean, sweet to the taste. Boy, a wonderful tasting treat, wafers with honey. In fact, Psalm 78 says, God rained down manna upon them to eat. He gave them the corn of heaven. Man did eat angels' food. Not only sweet, angelic, heavenly. Boy, what is it? It's the provision of God. What is it? The perfection of God. Perfect in its nutrients, perfect in its taste. What is it? Number three, it's the picture of God. The definition of the gift, that manna that God gave, that manna that God rained down on them every morning. Now, these are examples of the intent. We should not lust after evil things, as some of them lusted. Now, it's talking about the manna, provision of God, perfection of God, picture of God. We won't take time, but verse 33 and verse 34 talks about taking an omer of it and storing it up in the Ark of the testimony of the Ark of the Covenant, as a memorial. And of course, we know it's talking about the picture, the type. When Jesus came, he said, I am the true bread. I am the bread of heaven. He that eateth of me shall never hunger. We know it's pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so for the question, what is it? What is it? The manna, what is it? It's the provision of God. It's the perfection of God, perfect nutrients, perfect taste. It's also the picture of God. Boy, understand, every morning they should have been getting up saying, praise the Lord for the manna that God gave. Boy, Lord, I thank you. You've been so good to us. You daily load us with benefits. It says he rained it down every morning, every morning. Boy, God bless them. That manna, the definition of the gift. Boy, it's the perfection, the provision, the picture of God. Now for us, I understand that I don't think that any of us woke up this morning looking for manna on the front lawn. We may have looked for some other things on the front lawn, how about the country that we were born in? Boy, the country we were born in, okay, I understand it's not perfect, but it's the best country on the planet today. The country we were born in, God could have chose to have us be born in any other country. Boy, we should thank the Lord for the country we're born in. How about the condition we have? None of us have perfect health, but praise the Lord for the health we do have. Boy, it's manna. God's blessed us. God's provided for us. How about the calling? The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Boy, the manna, God showers it down on us. The congregation that God's allowed us to be a part of, what an amazing thing. What a blessed thing that the Lord purchased the church with his blood. It's the gift of God. And so we have a lot of things to be thankful for. The companion that God's allowed me to be my helpmeet and to be my partner in life. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing. A prudent wife is from the Lord. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above, from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And so the country, the condition, the calling, the congregation, my companion. How about our kids? Children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Boy, we have a lot of things to just stop and say, Lord, thank you for the blessings. Thank you for the church. Thank you for the country. Thank you for my condition. Thank you for my family. Thank you for all that you've given to us. No wonder the Bible says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, the definition of the gift, they should have been praising God for that perfect, that providing, that picture of a gift that they have. But instead of being thankful and praising for what they had, they were desiring what they didn't have. Look at Numbers chapter 11. Now, these were examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as some of them lusted. Look at Numbers chapter 11. Look at verse number 4. Verse 4. We go from the definition of the gift. It's the provision of God. It's the perfection of God. It's the picture of God, from the definition of the gift to the degradation of their gratitude. The degradation. They should have been praising and thanking. Look at verse number 4. Now, these were examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things, and some of them lusted. Verse 4, the mixed multitude that was among them fell lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? Now, next verse, look at the evil things that they lusted after. Look at it, verse 5. We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers, the melons, and the leeks, and the onions, and the garlic. And God calls them in Corinthians, he calls them evil things. Now, by themselves, in and of themselves, they're not innately evil unless God has not given those to you. The fact they were wanting something that God hadn't given them, the fact that they were desiring something that God had not provided for them, that's what lust is. Always wanting something else, always wanting someone else, always wanting somewhere else. Now, it starts out pretty benign. It starts out almost innocent. All they want is fish and garlic and leeks. And that's all they want. But look how it turns for the tragic before the end of the text. Look at verse 33, that landslide of lust. It starts out just wanting fish and leeks and onions and garlic. But verse 33, and while the flesh was yet between their teeth, ere it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was kindled against the people, and the Lord smote the people with a very great plague. And he called the name of that place Kibroth Hattaavah, because there they buried the people that, next word, that lusted. Now these were examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as some of them lusted. Understand, that landslide of lust that took place, you ever notice that a landslide almost always starts out with one pebble just kind of bouncing around? And then it dislodges a bigger pebble and then a bigger rock. And then pretty soon it's an avalanche. It's just unstoppable. It's overwhelming. And it's absolutely destructive. And that's where it starts out. It starts out with a little pebble. They just wanted something that God hadn't given them. They just wanted something other than what they had. And I found that it's a lot easier to stop the avalanche before it starts with that one little pebble. That first pebble in our text, write it down, they weren't delighting. They weren't delighting. Boy, what was the start of that avalanche? End of the chapter, boy, they're destroyed. They're absolutely dead. But at the beginning of the chapter, it all started out because they were not delighting. Look at verse number 1. Verse 1. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. Of course it did. Boy, it's the provision of God. It's the perfection of God. It's a picture of God. Hey, of course it displeased the Lord when they complained. By the way, they weren't praising because they were complaining. They should have been rejoicing and thanking God for the manna that God gave, for all that God had done. But instead of thanking God and praising God and enjoying and rejoicing in the provision of God, instead of that, they weren't delighting. They were complaining. And when they weren't delighting, it always leads to point number 2. When you're not delighting in what you do have, you'll always be, number 2, desiring what you don't have. Now, the first pebble, they weren't delighting in what they do have. Because they weren't delighting in what they do have, verse 1, the manna, they began desiring what they don't have. Instead of delighting in what God had given them, they started desiring what God had not given them. Look at verse 4. Verse 1, they complained, they weren't delighting. They should have been rejoicing and rejoice evermore. In everything give thanks. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. But instead of rejoicing, they were complaining. They were complaining. They weren't delighting. It caused them to be desiring something that God had not. Verse 4. The mixed multitude that was among them fell a lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? Understand, if you're not delighting in what you do have, you'll automatically be desiring what you don't have. If you're not delighting in what God has given you, automatically you'll begin desiring what God has not given you. And that's what lust is, always wanting something else, always wanting somewhere else, always wanting someone else. Boy, that's lusting. Elizabeth Elliot, the widow of Jim Elliot, the missionary that died martyr to the Yucca Indians, when she was asked how she never got bitter or angry or had angst about the circumstances of life, she said, the key to happiness is giving thanks for the given and not grumbling about the ungiven. Boy, that's the key to happiness. When you're happy about what you do have, rather than being unhappy about what you don't have, Boy, that's the key to happiness. And that's what they learned here. They weren't delighting in that manna. That's why they were desiring everything other than. By the way, that's why God called it an evil thing. An evil thing. Boy, if you're not delighting in what you do have, you're desiring something that you don't have. Boy, it's an evil thing. In the eyes of the Lord, when you're desiring someone else, somewhere else, something else, when you're not rejoicing and giving thanks for what you do have, number one, when you're not desiring what you do have, delighting in what you do have, automatically, number two, you'll be desiring what you don't have, which always leads to number three, a distorting. A distorting. Say it with me. Point number one, when you're not delighting, say it with me. Number one, when you're not delighting in what you do have, you'll automatically, number two, be desiring what you don't have, and it leads to a distorting. Not only does it distort what you do have, it also distorts what you don't have. Look at verse number six. We're in Numbers chapter 11. The degradation of their gratitude, that first pebble, they weren't delighting. They weren't rejoicing. They weren't giving thanks. That led to the second pebble. They began desiring what they didn't have, which leads to the next pebble, the next rock. It distorted what they did have. Look at verse 6. But now our soul is dried away, and there's nothing at all. There's nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. Nothing at all. Is that all you got, the provision of God? Nothing at all? Nothing at all. There's nothing at all. It began distorting what they do have. What we have isn't really that great. What we have isn't really that wonderful. But there's nothing at all. The perfection of God, the provision of God, the picture of God, the fact that God rained down manna every morning. Boy, how in the world can you get to the point where you say there's nothing at all beside this manna? Boy, it's unbelievable. It's all because they weren't delighting in what they did have. They began desiring what they didn't have, and it caused them to be distorting what they did have. Look at verse number 8. Verse 8. Now remember, Exodus says the taste was like wafers with honey. Psalm 78 says it was angelic. It was like angel's food. It was like corn from heaven. Now, look at verse number 8. And the people went about and gathered it and ground it in mills, or beat it in a mortar and baked it in pans and made cakes of it. And the taste of it was, now wait a second, we already know what the taste of it was. They already told us in Exodus chapter 16, the taste of it was like wafers with honey. Boy, sweet. Psalm 78, we already know it's like heavenly cornbread, corn from heaven. It's like angel's food. Hey, we already know what the taste is like, except when you're not delighting and you begin desiring, automatically it causes you to be distorting. Look at it, verse 8. And the taste of it was as the taste of, next two words, of fresh oil. Boy, it's kind of oily. It's kind of greasy. It's not really that great. In fact, Numbers 21:25, they said, our soul loathes this light bread. Boy, this light bread. Boy, it's not that great. It's oily. It's greasy. Hey, understand the taste, the manna never changed. The manna never changed. Listen, the manna never changed. Now, if your taste for the manna has changed, it may be that your taste has changed. The manna is the same. They started out saying, man, it's sweet, it's heavenly, it's angelic. But because they weren't giving thanks, they weren't rejoicing, they weren't delighting in what they had, they began desiring what they did not have. And that caused them to be distorting what they have. The manna never changed. The manna never changed. It's that way with your career. Boy, if you're not thanking God for the career you do have, you'll begin desiring a career you don't have. And then pretty soon you'll start distorting the career you had. Hey, there was a day when you couldn't wait to punch in. There was a day when you couldn't wait to work. And hey, what a great job. What a great company. And hey, there was a day, but somewhere along the line, when you stopped delighting in the company you had, you started desiring a company that you weren't with. And it caused you to be distorting all that you once had and were grateful for at one time. Is anybody following this at all? Well, it's a landslide. It's a landslide. It just gets worse and worse and worse and worse. And you see it with even a congregation. When you're not delighting in the church, hey, there was a time when you couldn't wait for the choir to sing. Man, you couldn't wait for the specials, that special, wow, goosebumps, the baptisms and the invitation and the crowds and just all the excitement. But understand, if you're not delighting in what you do have, you'll begin desiring what you don't have. And that'll cause you to be distorting what you do have. Well, it's just not that great. It's not as good as, hey, the manna never changed. The manna never changed. Now, not only does it distort what you do have, it also distorts what you don't have. Look at verse 5. Verse 5. We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers, and the melons, and the leeks, and the onions. And is anyone's mouth watering right now? And the onions and the garlic. Would anybody say that's kind of messed up? They want garlic rather than angels' food. They want onions rather than corn from heaven. They want leeks rather than wafers with honey. Man, that's distorted. That's crazy. Not any crazier or more distorted than a man who leaves his wonderful wife and fantastic family for some belligerent brunette at work that he met. And you say, well, I don't even see, I can't even, what do you see in her? There's nothing beautiful in her. Yeah, exactly. But because he wasn't delighting in the wife that he had, he began desiring someone that God did not give to him. And that caused him to be distorting what he had. Well, my wife, you know, my husband, my spouse. And then it caused him to be distorting what he didn't have. Hey, listen, that landslide's a whole lot easier to stop at that first pebble. That first pebble that was dislodged, that started bouncing, causing other pebbles. And boy, they want onions rather than angels' food. They want garlic rather than, boy, they're missing the sweetness. They're missing the heavenliness. They're missing how angelic it is, but it's all because they're not delighting. They're distorting. And you say, boy, that's crazy. Not any crazier. And let me testify of someone that will leave a Bible-preaching church, and we've had them go to churches where the pastor's immoral, go to churches where the church splits, and you say, man, it's crazy. Yeah, it's absolutely crazy, because somewhere along the line, if you stop delighting in what you do have, you'll begin, number two, begin desiring what you don't have, and that'll cause you to be distorting what you do have, and it'll cause you to be distorting what you don't have. Is this making sense to anybody at all? Well, it's a landslide of lust. It's a landslide of lust. Always wanting something else. Always wanting someone else. Always wanting somewhere else. And listen, if you remember nothing else, remember this. The manna never changed. Amen. The manna never changed. The manna never changed. But if you don't give thanks, if you're not delighting, if you're not rejoicing in what you do have, automatically you'll be desiring what you don't have, distorting both ways. And then number four, it causes you to be despising, to be despising. It just gets worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. If you're not delighting, verse 1, you'll be desiring, verse 4. You'll be distorting, verse 5 and verse 8. And now despising, despising. Look at verse number 6. But now our soul is dried away. We're in Numbers 11, the degradation of their gratitude. But now our soul is dried away. It's soured. Boy, it's soured. There's nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. Our soul's dried away. And again, Numbers 21:25, our soul loathes. It loathes. It loatheth this light bread. Listen, boy, that despising, you despise what you have. You despise what you have. You despise what you have, and you see it with the church. Boy, you see it with your spouse. You see it with your job. You see it with your medical condition. You see it in every area of life. You see it in your circumstances of life. Hey, understand what you have and what you don't have has nothing to do with if you're happy or not. It's all about, are you giving thanks for what you have? Are you delighting in what you have? And if you're not delighting, you'll be desiring. It'll cause a distorting. And now there's a despising, that landslide of lust. Pretty soon you'll be despising the house that God gave you, the lot in life that God gave you, the spouse that God gave you, the kids that God gave you, the income that God gave you, the church that God gave you, the health that God gave you. Boy, God gave that to you. And not only will you be despising what you have, when you eventually get rid of what you have and get what you wanted, eventually you'll be despising it also. Look at verse number 18. Verse 18. When they got what they thought they wanted, look at verse 18, God told Moses to tell them, halfway down, therefore the Lord will give you flesh, and ye shall eat. Verse 19, ye shall not eat one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, neither 10 days, nor 20 days. Look at verse 20, but even a whole month until it come out at your nostrils, and it be, say the next word, and it be loathsome. Same word, when they said, our soul loathes this light bread. Boy, that manna, we loathe it, but now that they got rid of it and they got what they wanted, now they're loathing what they got. By the way, not only will you despise what you had, you'll despise what you get Ultimately, you're despising the Lord that gave it to you. Look at the last part. Look at the last part. Verse 20. But even a whole month until it come out of your nostrils and it be loathsome, same word, loathsome unto you, because that ye have, next three words, ye have despised the Lord. What they once desired, they now despised. And you see it with someone that'll leave a wife or someone that'll leave a husband, and maybe one day, maybe one week, maybe one month, 2 months, 3 months, but eventually, boy, they'll wake up and say, man, I left my wonderful wife, my fantastic family. Boy, I left all of that for this. Boy, and that's when the bouncing begins. It begins, they bounce from person to person to person to person, job to job to job to church to church to church, situation to situation. Boy, they'll always try to find that elusive happiness, that wrong that's just out of reach, that thing that they think, boy, if I just had that, always wanting someone else or something else or somewhere else, if I just had that, then I'll be happy. No. It's not what you have or what you don't have. Are you delighting in what you have? And if you're not delighting in what you have, you'll be desiring what you don't have. And then you'll be distorting what you have, distorting what you don't have, and then you'll be despising what you have, or then when you get what you want, you'll be despising what you get. Listen, we need to get to the point, like Paul said, I've learned in whatsoever state I'm in to therewith be content. Boy, filled to overflowing. Filled to overflowing. Boy, God's been so good to me. God's blessed me. Boy, thank the Lord for the house, the car, where I live. Thank the Lord for the church and the family and all the blessings of God. Hey, and again, boy, wherever you're at, whatever your lot in life is, get to the point where in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And understand, there's one more point. If you're not, say it with me. Number one, they were not delighting. Verse 1, they were complaining. They were not delighting in what they have, and it causes automatically, verse 4, that they were desiring what they did not have. And then that caused them to be distorting what they had, and then also distorting what they didn't have. And then they began despising what they had, and then it caused them to be despising what they got. And ultimately, it causes a destroying. Number 5, write it down. A destroying. Where that landslide of lust, when you're not delighting, you'll be desiring. It'll cause a distorting, a despising. And then ultimately, what you desired ends up causing. Their desires brought their destruction. Look at verse number 31 of Numbers chapter 11. Look at 31. It's almost like we're in Psalm 106. The Bible says God gave them their requests, but sent leanness to their soul. Their lusts brought them leanness. What they desired brought their destruction. Look at 31. And there went forth a wind from the Lord and brought quails from the sea. Verse 32. The people stood up all that day and all that night and all that next day. They gathered the quails. Verse 33. And while the flesh was yet between their teeth, ere it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was kindled against the people. And the Lord smote the people with a very great plague. Look at verse number 34. Verse 34, and he called the name of that place Kibroth Hattaavah, because there they buried the people that lusted. Listen, I sure hope, if we do nothing else, I hope before we leave tonight that we'll just stop and say, Lord, thank you for the wife I have. Lord, thank you for the kids I have. Lord, thank you for the health that I have. Remember when Paul had that thorn in the flesh? That messenger of Satan that buffeted his body, probably was an eye disease, when he said, you see how large a letter I write with my own hand. And then in Galatians, he said, where's the love where you said at one time you'd pluck your eyes out, give them to me. It probably happened when he saw the Lord on the road to Damascus, that bright light, probably that eye disease. That's why Luke traveled with him last half of Acts. Probably. Now, that's all speculation. But we do know messenger of Satan, Paul, thorn in the flesh. It buffeted his body. Now, Paul prayed 3 times, Lord, take it from me. Lord, take it from me. Lord, take it from me. But then when God gave him that assurance, no, that's my will for your life. Boy, I'll pour in grace. 2 Corinthians 12:9, Paul said, most gladly, therefore, will I glory. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches, in necessities and persecution, in distresses for Christ's sake. Boy, Paul said, I want to make sure I'm delighting in the health I have. Boy, I want to be delighting in the condition I'm in. I want to be delighting in all the goodness that God gave. By the way, on the positive side, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he will give thee the desires of your heart. Amen. Boy, if you want to retune your desires, make sure you're delighting. Make sure you're delighting. Make sure you're delighting. Does anybody remember when Jacob saw Rachel for the first time? I'm telling you, he was just blown away. In fact, Jacob was kind of, you know, kitchen cooking, and but when he saw Rachel by himself, he removed that stone from the well, and he saw Rachel, he wept, and he kissed her. Boy, this is my dream girl. This is the girl I want. Jacob was so excited about Rachel. The Bible says that he worked 7 years for Rachel, and they seem like just a few days for the love that he had for Rachel. Anybody remember the story at all? Does anybody remember what his future father-in-law did to him on the wedding night? Anybody remember that? He ended up waking up the next morning. He didn't get Rachel. He got Leah. The Bible says that she was tender-eyed. Tender-eyed. What that means in the Hebrew is dog ugly. And that's what it means. I don't know. And that's, hey, I don't write it. I just preach it. So who he wanted, his dream girl was Rachel, but for some reason, the circumstances didn't work out like he wanted. In fact, the circumstances worked out in such a way that he ended up marrying someone that he didn't necessarily want. It wasn't his first choice. But it wasn't his dream choice. He got Leah. Now, he worked 7 more years for Rachel. And of course, they started bearing children. Anybody remember Judah? Judah, which means praise. Judah was birthed. Was Judah birthed by Rachel, or was Judah birthed by Leah? Anybody remember? Birthed by Leah. Leah. Somewhere along the line, Jacob made peace with his problems. Somewhere along the line, Jacob made peace. Not my first choice, not my dream choice. And there's people here that maybe even your dating wasn't, you know, according to, and just, man, it's just not in everything. But Jacob, he made peace, and he embraced fully the same way that Paul embraced his thorn of the flesh. Jacob embraced Leah as a part of God's will for his life, and praise was birthed out of that relationship. Jesus, a little bit later on, was birthed. Was Jesus birthed by Rachel and Jacob, that lineage, or was Jesus birthed by Jacob and Leah, that lineage? Now, Jesus, the lion of the tribe of Judah, birthed by Leah. Jesus eventually came by the lineage of Jacob and Leah. And understand, God's purpose, God's plan wasn't done. My first choice, my dream choice. Boy, if I can write how I want my life to turn out, this is it. You know, this kind of a house and this type of an area, this kind of a money and this, all of these things that I would write out. And Jacob, it wasn't his first choice, wasn't his dream choice, but Jacob made peace with God's choice for his life. Jacob made peace with God's choice for his life, and praise was birthed out of it. God's purpose, God's plan was seen through it. By the way, Rachel ended up dying when she gave birth to Benjamin, hard labor, and she was buried in Bethlehem. A little bit later, Leah died, and she was buried at Machpelah. Jacob, later on, when he died, now remember his dream choice, his first choice was Rachel. She's buried in Bethlehem. That's where Rachel, his dream choice, his first choice, buried in Bethlehem. Leah, not his first choice, not his dream choice, but God's choice, was buried in Machpelah. Jacob, when he died, said to his children, now when I die, bury my bones, bury my bones. Bury me in Bethlehem next to Rachel, my first choice, my dream choice? No. He said, when you bury me, bury me next to Leah at Machpelah. Not my first choice, not my dream choice, but it's God's choice. Paul's thorn in the flesh, not my first choice, not my dream choice, but it's God's choice. Somewhere along the line, we need to get to the point where in everything give thanks. In everything give thanks. Boy, these were examples. Now, these are our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things. Leeks, garlic, melon, fish, evil things? Yeah. If God hasn't given them to you, If you're not delighting in what you do have, you'll be desiring what you don't have. And you've heard the rest of the points.
Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. I hope that your heart was drawn closer to God as a result of our time together today. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Lancaster Baptist Church, let me encourage you to visit lancasterbaptist.org. You'll see a tremendous amount of material there that will help you in your Christian life. And then if you'd like resources to help you on a daily basis, visit strivingtogether.com. There you'll find our newest resource, A Daily Word, 366 devotions, one a day, just to help you begin every morning with God. That's at strivingtogether.com. We'll look forward to seeing you next time on the podcast from Lancaster Baptist Church.